Baruch Hashem, who succeeded in organizing together with members of the Women's League a series of shiurim for women. I would like to dedicate it to the Zecher Nishmas Mori V'Chami, Rabbi Yankov Yosef ben Rabbi Yitzchak HaKoyen, who was a very, very big proponent of women learning halacha. So it's particularly fitting that we should dedicate this series of shiurim Leilui Nishmasei. Starting with the mitzvah of Neiros, Neiros of Shabbos, Neiros of Yontif, and Neiros are very, very significant. Neiros have many, many connotations. Chazal tell us that the Neiros that we light for Shabbos and Yontif bring the light of spirituality into the world. And women are zeicha through lighting the Neiros to bring a special light, a heavenly light, into our lives and into the world. So it's a special schus that the women have in the Hadlokas HaNeiros. There's a practical dimension to Neiros too, that Chazal taught us that in the absence of Neiros, there wouldn't be Shalom Bayis. People would stumble around in the dark. There would be a very sad atmosphere on Shabbos. So they instituted the responsibility of lighting Neiros. It's interesting. Because of electrification, we're not as sensitive to the mitzvah of Neiros as we might be. Chazal tell us the obligation to light Neiros is not only in the place where we eat, but it should be light in every place in the house that a person goes on Shabbos, that they should be able to walk comfortably and safely, is also part of the mitzvah of Neiros Shabbos. And I say we take that part rather lightly because of electrification. So we can put on a light in the closet, a light in the hall, a light in the restroom. And therefore, even in the darkened places in the house, in the private places in the house, which are not flooded with light, we need to sleep in them. But nevertheless, if we open the door to the bedrooms, we have light from the exterior. So we don't even think about it in terms of the mitzvah of Shabbos, but it's part of the mitzvah of Neiros Shabbos. The most significant portion of the Neiros Shabbos is lighting in the place that we eat, so that the Suda Shabbos should be a beautiful and comfortable one. Imagine what it would be like if there was barely any light, or there was no light at all, and we ate in the dark. It's not an eating experience that any of us would appreciate. Suda Shabbos would be, in fact, something dismal, not something to look forward to. The women, in a practical sense, have the obligation for this mitzvah, because women tend to be at home, and they tend to be the ones that are responsible for running the household. Men have more obligations, classically, outside the house than women did. And therefore, Chazal placed the responsibility for certain mitzvahs that are in the house on the shoulders of the Jewish women. And this is one of those mitzvahs, that women tend to be home. And therefore, Chazal placed the responsibility upon women that they should be the one that lights who lights the Neiros for Shabbos. So that's a special mitzvah that we have. And it's a very, very poignant mitzvah, a very sublime mitzvah. There's a woman that I knew. Met her, in fact, in San Diego many, many years ago. And how did she become from? She became frum because she had zero background. She knew nothing about the Yahadus at all. But one Friday night, at the time of Hadlokas Neiros, she was walking in Meir Sharm. And she passed by the window of a Yerushalmi woman at the moment of Hadlokas Neiros. And she peered in the window and she watched this woman lighting Neiros. And she was so awestruck by it, so inspired by it, that eventually she became frum because of this incident. Just observing the Yerushalmi woman lighting the Neiros as Shabbos begins. There's something very, very sublime about it, something very holy and sanctified about it. And as we know, historically, that women use this opportunity and the other special mitzvahs, which are relegated to women's responsibility, as times for special tefillahs before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And at Lokus Neris, and at the time of Afroshes Challah, which is also a mitzvah that's in the house and in the kitchen. So usually women have the responsibility for it. Come back to it when we come to Challah. But these mitzvahs are important. The Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik, V'Kodesh Livracha, observed a social change in his time, and he was not pleased by it. In his time, he observed that women no longer baked challahs at home, and they were more likely to buy challahs in the bakery. And the Chofetz Chaim writes that he was not pleased by it. Why? There's nothing wrong with bakery challahs. And maybe they're sometimes even better than the ones we make at home. You know? Now, I understand that well. My grandmother, Allah Shalom, came from a shtetl west of Kiev. And from the time she was 12 years old, people in the town bought her challahs. She was an unbelievable baker. But the Chofetz Chaim lamented the fact that women did not any longer have the opportunity to be mafresh challah on a regular basis to do the mitzvah. That's how important these mitzvahs are. So we'll come back to Be'ezus Hashem next week to the mitzvah of hafreshes challah. But these mitzvahs are times that women have historically undertaken to be mispalo. We do a mitzvah as a special schus before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And it creates an Eitz Rotzen, a time that we can be mispalo before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for ask for siyata d'shmaya. And it's particularly a time to be mispalo for our children's success, for chinuch habonim, that we should succeed in raising erlich yidin as our children. And there are various tefillahs. Some women recite tefillahs chana. The tefillahs hashlo is also appropriate. It was not only intended for Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, but it's a tefillah that can be used throughout the year. And I also discovered, I was aware, I'm not one that's much in favor of reciting tefillahs if we don't know what the source of the tefillah is. Shmuel Zecherno Livracha was of similar bent. If we're going to recite something as a tefillah, then it has to come from someplace, from a source that we recognize as being worthy of creating a tefillah for us. So I discovered also there's a very common tefillah, Yerotzen, that's used after the Adlokas Neiris, which comes from a Sefer Shari Dimo. And I was broadly aware that there was a Sefer Shari Dimo, but I decided in today's age to find out who the author of the Shari Dimo was. So like all other good things in this world, I went online. And sure enough, I switched into the Hebrew mode, and fast enough, I discovered who the Shari Dimo was. It's very interesting. He was a Rav, was a Talmud of Rav Chaim HaVolozhin, and he was among the Talmidim of Rav Chaim HaVolozhin, those that followed in the ways of the Gro that went to Eretz Yisrael. And he was the one that wrote the Sefer of Tfilas called Shari Dimo. So certainly at the tefillahs of a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, a Rov that was a recognized Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, is certainly worthy for us to say. So there's a tefillah that's common. In fact, Yeshiva Chofetz Chaim gave it out recently at one of the dinners. Comes from the Sefer Shari Dimo.
Do you say Hashem's name when you say that?
You can say, there's always a lot of confusion about this, and let me clarify this. The only limitation about saying the name of Hashem is either in the context of a brocha. A brocha may only be recited when we're obligated to recite a brocha. Otherwise, I cannot recite a brocha. And that most of our poskim, most of the Rishonim held that was rabbinically ordained. It's a rabbinical prohibition. Because why should I not be able to say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Borei Pri HaGafen and thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for having created grapes, even if I'm not eating them? But the Rabbanon limited our use of brochas to when we're actually going to make the brocha on the food and what we're going to consume. Other than that, the only other limitation on the using the Shem Hashem is if I'm frivolous about it. But if I am thoughtful about it, and I say a tefillah, that there's no iser of using Shem Hashem. And I've never been one disposed not to say the Shem Hashem by Zmiris or by any of these tefillahs. They're not brochas, and it's 100% permissible. And in actuality, it's, besides being involved in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a Mishnah in the beginning of the ninth parak in Brochas. And the Mishnah tells us that Boaz said, Yivorechecha Hashem. And he said, Ado, as we would say when we made a brocha. And one is perhaps 100% permitted to do so. And the Gemara cites Boaz's example, the Mishnah that is. So one could say it with Shem Hashem. I'm quite sure that when the women are mispalel after they have light neiris, they have a great deal of kavana, not only a small amount of kavana. So I have no problem with them reciting Shem Hashem in that context. How many neiris we light? The truth is, probably if we would lit one neir, we would be yotzei the mitzvah. Chazal did not dictate in the Gemara how much light we have to have. And it would seem from the Gemara that one neir would suffice. However, across the generations, the minhag emerged. We have two particular mitzvahs of Shabbos, of Zohar and Shomer. In the first Dibris in Parshas Yisro, it's Zohar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. And the latter Dibris is Shomer Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. And the simplest meaning, there are varied meanings of what Zohar and Shomer imply. But the simplest meaning is that Zohar is the mitzvah to say of Shabbos, all the things we're supposed to do on Shabbos, and Shomer is the things we're not supposed to do on Shabbos, the lo yisaseh, not to do malachas, etc. And therefore, these Shabbos stands upon two pillars, the things we don't do, and therefore, we push the world out a little bit, and we connect more with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And within that context, we use the positive mitzvahs that we have to do. I shouldn't say the positive, the active mitzvahs that we have to do. I like is a better word. All mitzvahs are positive. But the active mitzvahs that we have to do, we use those to pursue a closer connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And these are two pillars of Shabbos, in the Sforno rites and the second Dibros, that if we merely fulfill Shabbos by what we don't do on Shabbos, then we've missed the point. Not that we haven't done anything, we've fulfilled a major aspect, but we've omitted a major aspect as well. And therefore, the minhag has emerged across the generations, that women light at least two neiros, one representing Zohar, one representing Shomer. After that, there are all types of endless minhagim, how many neiros people light. People light a certain number of neiros. Some people add neiros for every child that's born, which is a common practice. But again, this is all matters of minhagim. And my general advice to people is, if you come from a frum family, then follow the minhag of what your mother and grandmother did. If you come from a non-frum family, then ask one of your mentors how you should proceed. Now, the hadlokas neiros assumed a very significant role in women's approach to Shabbos. In fact, more so even than men. And when women light the neiros, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that historically this became tied to Kabbalah Shabbos. When a woman made the bracha and she lit the neiros, she automatically is Mekabelas Shabbos at that particular moment. She may not do Malacha after that. And we'll come back to how this in fact affects the halachas of the lighting of the Neiros themselves. Men do not have this din. When if a man lights Neiros, he is not Mekabel Shabbos with halachas on Neiros. And there's a different halacha for men lighting Neiros than women, as we'll see. But for women, this became a matter of Kabbalah Shabbos. Because of that, on Shabbos, there's a halacha that followed from this. That normally we have a practice that when we do a mitzvah, the Gemara tells us in Psochem and Avov, that we should do a mitzvah over le'asiyosin. Over means before. And the Shas brings three proofs from Tanakh that over means before. So we should do a bracha over le'asiyosin before we do a mitzvah, so we make a bracha. So if we're going to light the Neiros Chanukah, we make a bracha before we light it, before we read the Megillah, before we pick up a lulav and esrog or a shofar, and do the mitzvah, we make the bracha. There are a small number of mitzvahs where we make the bracha after the mitzvah. and for varied reasons. One of those mitzvahs is Hadlokas Neros Shabbos, with the minig. Our minig is that women make the brocha on the Neros first after they light the Neros. Why? Because at the moment they make the brocha on the Neros, they're Makabel Shabbos. That's Kabbalah Shabbos for them. And therefore, once they made the brocha, they wouldn't be able to light the Neros. So consequently, what has emerged over the generations, the practice is that women first light the Neros, then they cover their eyes not to benefit from the Neros, and then they recite the brocha, and then they uncover their eyes and start to benefit from the Neros at that point. So this is halacha in Kabbalah Shabbos. It also affects the fact that after Hadlokas Neros, and we'll come back to this again in a broader sense, in a more detailed sense, but if a woman was Mekabel HaShabbos when she made Hadlokas Neros, she cannot light Daven Mincha after that. A man could also not Daven Mincha. If a man comes to Shul and he's Mekabel Shabbos, specifically, he's Mekabel Shabbos upon himself, and then he remembers, oh boy, I didn't Daven Mincha. It's too late. Mincha's gone. So for a man who's obligated in Mincha, or a woman that conducted is an obligation, but a man certainly can daven Marav twice. If a woman davens all the tefillah, she could also daven twice, if not just daven Marav instead. But that's the Kabbalah Shabbos. Once we're Mekabel Shabbos, so the weekday is over, and the weekday's tefillahs are over. We can no longer be mispalel. Now, there emerged an entire literature which has to do with Hilchos Yontif in the Neiros on this point. And it's very interesting that we have, there's a sefer on the Tor Shulchan Aruch. The sefer is called Drisha and Prisha. It has two parts to it. The author is very famously known as the Sma, who wrote a perush on Shulchan Aruch Chosh and Mishpat. And in his preface, the Yoredeya, he tells us of Chidushim of his mother. And history has, in fact, accepted her insight, and we paskin like her in both of the cases. The Drisha records them in the preface to his Sefer, and both have become the halacha l'maisa. Not all communities follow this psak, but this, if we ask what is the preferred psak, it's agreed upon this is the preferred psak in Klal Yisrael. And she said the following. She said, number one, that when it comes to Yontif, we should make the bracha before we light the Neros. Why? Because this rarely every mitzvah was supposed to light the bracha before. And Shabbos is an exception, because if we made the bracha, we wouldn't be able to light the Neros. So on Yontif, where that doesn't apply, so it should go back to the general rule, and I should make the bracha before I light the Neros. And this is what the Drisha records in his preface. I'll tell you soon the other halacha that she articulated. And this really is agreed upon by most communities as the preferred model. Some places, and there are poskim that argued on this side of it, said that we should not differentiate between Shabbos and Yontif, and they said that therefore the bracha should be made on all Hadlokas Neros, even on Yontif afterwards. But if we ask ourselves what's accepted as the generally preferred psak, clearly to make the bracha on Yontif before we light the Neros. So this is a psak that we have recorded in history, which comes from the mother of one of the greatest poskim in Jewish history. I'm not telling you to change. There is Yisoida V'Kodesh. If your mother does it a certain way, then you can go on doing it that way. If someone does not have a fixed minhag and comes to ask me what's preferred, I would tell them what's preferred. Yes?
It's happened oftentimes on Sukkot that I strike the match, make the bracha, and then the wind blows it out. And at that point, I can't strike another match. Can I talk and ask somebody to...
It's the Tzorech HaMitzvah for the purpose of a mitzvah is not construed as a hefsek. Okay. Now, there's another halacha that the mother of the Drisha, of the Sma, articulated. And again, this is the preferred method. It's not done in all communities, but it's agreed upon that it's preferred. She argued the following. that on the first night of Yom Tov, on Shabbos, when do we light the Neiros? We don't have a choice. We light the Neiros before the sun sets. Because after sunset, after Shkias HaChama, we would be prohibited to light the Neiros. So we don't have any choice. So many people on Yom Tov say, well, on Yom Tov, one's allowed to light Neiros on Yom Tov, so I could wait till Marav time to light the Neiros. But the mother of the Drisha said that's incorrect. Why? As I mentioned before, when a woman lights the Neiros, that's Kabbalah Shabbos. We're supposed to be in Mekabel Yom Tov before Yom Tov begins too. So therefore, she said that one should light the Neiros at the regular time of Hadlokas Neiros on the first day of Yom Tov, because that's Kabbalah's Yom Tov. And therefore, we should not wait until later. Again, do all communities follow that? No. But is it the preferred? Yes, it's preferred. So these are two halachas which history has recorded unusually from a great woman in Jewish history. Now, there's an entire...
The first day of Yom Tov,
yes. The second day, you should not light before nightfall because it's a question of achana from one day to the next. And especially in our context, where we have electricity, in earlier times when it was getting dark, so one could argue that one could light the Neiros perhaps even earlier, perhaps, but it would be permissible in terms of the Malacha to light Neiros as the day is ending because it's going to get dark in your house. You don't want to sit in the dark for an hour or two. But in our context where we have electricity, so there's certainly no need to light the Neiros at that point in time, so certainly it would be construed as a chana preparation for the second day of Yom Tov. We have a halacha, and that is, if a woman is mekabela Shabbos when she lights the Neiros, what happens if there's a situation that she can't be mekabela Shabbos at that particular time? But that's the only time she has to light the Neiros. So what should she do? So we have a halacha. This is some matter of controversy surrounding this halacha, but it's accepted halacha l'maisa, but we use it upon need. We don't use it as a general practice, and that's called making a tanai, that she could light the Neiros and state explicitly that she is not being mekabela Shabbos at this point in time. And that's acceptable. We accept that view when one's really in a pinch, when one has to do so. Now, I want to go into a couple of things that it's relevant to. One of the times that it's most particularly relevant, the halacha is, well, one has to light the Neiros on Yom Kippur. There's no question when we light the Neiros. We have to light the Neiros before sunsets, just as we do on Shabbos, because we can't light the Neiros during the nighttime. So now the shaila is, not all of us live around the corner or next door to the shul. So what happens if we live a little bit further from the shul and our husbands are going to drive to shul after the time of Hadlokas Neiros to come for Kol Nidre? So what should we do? So the psak that I have for this is that women should make it tonight, but they should be careful not to do any malacha. Nevertheless, the riding in the car is questionable how much of a malacha it is. We don't ride in a car on Shabbos. I was once with, most of you are probably familiar with the Svarim of Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein of Bnei Brak. He has written many, many Svarim, Tuv Chayabiu and Baruch Sha'ama, which are replete both with hashkofes and many, many stories of Gdolim in them. He loves to collect stories. He's a phenomenal goyin, and he's a collector of stories and publishes many of them in his farm. And I know him. So he told me once the following, that in Warsaw, the Polish Jews used to say the following. To find an Iser to travel on the trolley on Shabbos is almost impossible. To find a Heter to go into a hot mikvah on Shabbos is also almost impossible. But a sheikh goes on the trolley on Shabbos, and a chassid goes to the mikvah. So how much of an Eastern it really is in this is questionable. Moshe Feinstein says he does not believe there is any Eastern actually in riding in a car. Others are, Pesach Frank Field, there is some violation of Shabbos Ayantav in it, but it's not clear-cut. So women that wish to come to shul to get a ride with the husbands for Kol Nidre, I tell them to make it tonight. in case there is anything that's inappropriate in going in the car. But they should not open and close the doors. So they won't put the lights on and put the lights off. You get into the car, someone else should close the doors for them. When you get to shul, they should open the doors and they should go out. So all that will be involved is riding the car before the sun sets on Erev Yom Kippur. And certainly we could rely upon the Tanai for that without any question. That is another halacha, and there are varied positions on it, and I'll tell you what most of the world does. The question is, a woman, let's say, that davens mincha every day. I mean, we're not going, now is not the time, we've talked other times about the obligation of women in tefillah, and it's an important obligation. Tefillah is our deepest and most constant connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And the Mishnah says in Brochus that women are as obligated in tefillah as men. So there's a whole pulpulum about it. Does it mean any tefillah? Does it mean the regular Shmon Esrei? In the Chazon Ish, the Chatzadik Levrocha believed that it meant Shmon Esrei. But he said the following, which was both the profound in its halachic sense, as it was a great Pesach, and profound in the sensitivity to the importance of tefillah. He said, women with families, with children, are exempt from tefillah. Why? Because Isaac with mitzvah is potter min ha-mitzvah. One that's involved in one mitzvah is not obligated to do another mitzvah. But the Chazon Ish added, noshim tzidkoniyus, righteous women, behold over the door in all the generations, made time for themselves to daven. So this is a very, very important thing. And one should try, and I'm a minimalist in this regard. It's not the time. I talked about it a different time for the Women's League, I think 2 years ago. And I'm a minimalist. Usually what happens is when we get too excited about a mitzvah and we make it too difficult for ourselves, so the Chazon Ish says the end is that we don't do what we can do. We do nothing because it becomes too overwhelming. You know, so a woman that normally davens mincha and she wants to daven mincha Friday afternoon and she sees it's getting late for Adlokas Neiros. Now, she doesn't want to miss Neiros, and certainly one should not put off Neiros till the last moment and go into a chashash, a concern that we might chalila be mechalal Shabbos by lighting after Shkia. So we should light the Neiros. Now, what do I do about mincha? So he said, normally a woman is mekabela Shabbos when she lights the Neiros, and she can't daven mincha afterwards. How about using the Tanai to allow ourselves to daven mincha after the hadlokas Neiros? It's implicit in the Chofetz Chaim. It's not spelled out explicitly, but it's implicit in the Chofetz Chaim and the Mishnah Berurah that it was not in favor of it. But many other poskim, in fact, do allow it, and that, I think, is the more common practice, that women, in fact, make a Tanai if they're yet to daven mincha, and then they use the Tanai for the purpose of davening mincha, and after that they begin the Kabbalah Shabbos. So that, to me, is an acceptable and normative practice. We have any questions until now? Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if this is a silly question or not.
I'm very frightened when people tell me about silly questions that they have. Because I was once in San Diego a few moons ago, and it was a forum, and a woman raised her hand and she said, I have this really silly question, but I don't have an answer to it. So I feel as though I encouraged, I told her, no questions are silly. So what was her silly question? And since then, I want the hard questions. I don't want the silly questions. Her question was the question of theodicy, of Tzadik Guralo, right? So it's a question that the Nevi'im addressed, right? The Novi Yirmi Amadua Derech Roshoim Tzalecho, and every religious philosopher, Lahavdil, throughout all of history has addressed, and the Roshoim addressed, and none of us have a full answer to that question. We struggle with it. So since then, I'm afraid of silly questions. I only like the hard questions.
Okay, so you daven mincha, and in mincha, you daven for all your needs.
Yes.
So I find that you daven for your children and for everything. Then you go to candle lighting, and is it the same personal prayers again, or how do you?
I told you, when we do a mitzvah, it's a special schus and a special eis rotzen. And Chazal tell us that halavai we would daven 1,000 times a day.
Yeah,
that we would feel that within ourselves the need to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly. And I always, when I come to this subject, there's a phenomenal story of Rav Volbo, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the great mashgichim of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. So he was a mashgiach of the yeshiva, and the yeshiva, he did not daven mincha in yeshiva. And the yeshiva came to him many times, he should daven mincha in yeshiva, and Rav Volbo went on not davening mincha in yeshiva. So one day the yeshiva came to him, and he said, listen, I got to ask you, what is your problem with davening mincha in yeshiva? You seem to have a problem with it. So Rav Volbo, Zatzal told him, I'll tell you very simply. In the winter time, I daven mincha in yeshiva. Because by the time the second Seder ends, it's too late to daven mincha. So in yeshiva, we daven mincha before the second Seder. So somewhere between 1 and 3 in the afternoon, they daven mincha. In the summertime, it's still daylight after the Seder ends. So mincha and yeshiva is first after the second Seder. We don't daven in our yeshiva before the second Seder. He says, I finished davening at 7 o'clock in the morning. He says, I cannot bear to wait 12 hours more to speak to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam again. I can't. So that's why, since the yeshiva davens at 7, I have to daven at an early mincha. And I can't wait for the yeshiva to daven. And that's what Chazal encouraged us. It's a phenomenal thing if we stop to think about it. If we wish to meet a powerful boss of Adam, a mortal human being like us in this world, how much effort we have to put into it to arrange the meeting. Try to meet the president of some corporation and see how many hoops you have to jump through and how many connections you have to get 10 minutes of his time. And here the Rabbeinu Shalom Melech Malchei Amlochim says, the door is open, come when you want. I'm ready to listen to you, and I want your tefillas. And after we do a mitzvah, is an ace rotzen, and we should seize the moment. Yeah.
A woman is makal Shabbos when she lights candles. What about the other women in the household?
They are not dependent on her. We do not say that they are dependent. They have to be makabel Shabbos on their own. When you light, she should say, I'm a Kabbalah Shabbos at this point in time. That it's better if she does. Some say, as long as there's a cessation from Aloha, it's better if she says it or at least thinks it, that she's a Kabbalah Shabbos. Yeah.
Is it better to make a tonight that you're
going
to
down
the mincha and light
that
is not a lighting candle? Or
I would think so. Once we start going into the 18 minutes, we're on the slippery slope. And it's best to stay off that slippery slope.
Light on
time and be soimach on the Tanah, yes. I feel that very strongly. Yeah.
Let's say if you're eating out a meal, so like you light the candles and you are, let's say, saying Tefillah Chana, davening Kabbalah Shabbos, whatever, is there a certain time that we have to
be? We'll come to that. We're not up to that point in the shiur yet. We'll get to that. Yes.
What if you're eating out Friday night?
We'll get to that soon, too. Okay, anyone else? Yeah.
How do you make it to that?
You think it, that I don't want to be Mekabel Shabbos now, before you light, before you make the bracha. Now, there's an entire discussion in the Shulchan Aruch if a number of families are eating together, can all of the women make a bracha on Hadlokas Neiros, because someone lit already, they're already Neiros. So the answer, the classical answer to that question was yes, for a very simple reason, and that is that the nature of the what we lit on Shabbos, whether we lit with oil, we lit with candles, but none of them provided so much light that we didn't benefit from additional lights. So as many people as lit made it more light and more comfortable. So the question has arisen, if we're lighting in a place where there's electricity, should I light, or can I light the Neiros Shabbos in such a place? And here, because of the fact, Baruch Hashem, in our times, that we have, you know, electricity, we have the light is so intense that the candles would seem almost to make no difference at all. So someone argued that we're lighting them because of Kovet Shabbos and we're allowed to do so. And even though it's not in the sense of the Einik Shabbos that we once had, but for Kovet Shabbos we're lighting and we're allowed to make a brocha. Some of our Gdolim, I believe Rav Moshe Feinstein, and I think Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, if I recall correctly, their practice was that before their wives lit the Neiros, they extinguished the Neiros, and some of them put them on again after they lit, or at least put them on if they lit them, and it's better. Or there would be the shliach of the wife to put them back on, and the wife made the brocha on both the candles and the electric light in the room, because it was put on specifically for Shabbos at such time that one could already light the Neiros Shabbos. Whereas if they're on from earlier in the day, one cannot make a brocha on them. I cannot light candles at 12 o'clock in the afternoon and then come make a brocha on them at the time of sunset. It doesn't work. I have to light them at a time that it's already appropriate to light Neiros Shabbos, which is in the last portion of the day, which was what we call Plag HaMincha. Okay, in the calendars, if you have a full calendar, list is man for Plag HaMincha, and you'll see what that man is. If you want to know from the Shul's Luach, when we have early Mincha, this man for the early Mincha is 19 minutes before the Plag HaMincha. That's the earliest one could light the Neiros Shabbos. If I lit Neiros Shabbos before Plag HaMincha, even if I didn't make a brocha, and I want to make the brocha afterwards, I cannot do so. I have to light it at an appropriate time. So, as I said, some shut the neiros, shut the electricity and light, and some will at least put it back on the same Shabbos, and therefore when their wives light, they have that in mind too. They have both their what their husbands did and what they did as included in the brocha, as I mentioned to you, with all the light we have in the house as part of the mitzvah.
Wait.
Yes.
Before you light candles, you should turn off the...
It's better if you close them and put them on again, l'shem Shabbos, and make the brocha on the neighbors and everything. And if they would be off altogether when you lit and put on, it would even be better. But that depends how yekish you are. If you're not so super yekish, don't do it. You're going to wind up in problems, you know, for Shabbos, you know. There's certain psukim that are for Yekis and certain psukim for the rest of the world.
So you say someone else should turn on the
lights after Yekis? That if you're Yekis. If you're not Yekis, then don't do it. Yes, you could do that too and have in mind both of them, yes. The candles that we light on the table are intended to be light for Suda Shabbos. So they should last to the end of Suda Shabbos. That should be the pashtus. We should use candles that last until the end of Suda Shabbos. And I would think on Yontif, like at the Seder, the Neiros should last until the end of the Seder. That's what I would believe, you know, what we should do. That is also what's come up nowadays, that we have a lot of concern for open flame. Open flame is dangerous. And we're very nervous about having open flame and with the problems that it can cause, and particularly with young children around. So many people are nervous to put the Neiros Shabbos on the table because they think the children are going to climb on the table and knock them over. By the way, if a Neir does get knocked over on Shabbos, knocked off, what you should do is pick it up and put it back in the Leichter. I know it's Muktz, I know all the questions, but a candle laying where it doesn't belong is Sakonas Nefoshes for yourself and for everybody else that lives on your block. So if a Neir falls down on Shabbos, just pick it up and put it right back where it belongs. Without any shinui, just do it and get it done with. Yes. Now. What do you mean the fire? Then you dump water on it in Shabbos and put it right out. This is, we have a psak from the Rishonim already that if there's a fire on Shabbos, we should put it out. The only exception would be if you had a bungalow in the middle of nowhere by yourself with no one else surrounding you, and you know that you're the only person in the house and you're going to run out, then there would be a halacha that you shouldn't put it out on Shabbos. But if you live in an urban world where you have neighbors and you don't know whose 98-year-old grandmother is sleeping next door and can't run out of the building, then you're obligated to put out a fire on Shabbos. Yes?
This is talking about so much about lighting on there. I know that, like, usually people have flames, so they take, like, I've heard two different ways. You know, you take a candle and take from the flame and then use that candle to light, and then I heard that it's better to light one of your candles. The problem I thought they had stove top. Use one of the candles that you're lighting, light it from the stove, and then use that candle to light the other one.
I'm like a little confused.
No, let's say I light two candles. So either to take, and there's a fire top stove. So I have to take, some people take a candle and light that candle and then pass it around and everybody lights your own arrows, your own candles, versus taking one of the candles that you're going to light and using it.
There is a myla al pi minhag, not to use one of the neiros to light the other neiros. There is such a minhag, not al pi din, but I don't necessarily recommend it on yontif because you're going to only left with one odd neir, which who knows where you're going to put. You know, so I'm not so keen on it. But there is hypothetically, yes, it would be hypothetically better to take a neir which is not one of the neiros Shabbos and light neiros yontif and light with that one. But I'm not sure that Lemaisa, that's one should do that. But it's hypothetically true.
Oh, but there's no opinion of, like, it's not better to light more candles. Like, I was told to use one of my candles that we're not lighting an extra candle on the other for
no
reason.
No, it's not. Either way is fine. They both have a halachic basis.
So if you were going to light candles in the same place, is it okay to take the candles?
On Yontif, we're noyik to do it. We don't do it other times, but on Yontif, we're noyik to do it. When there's difficulty, you know, we can't light matches, so it's... For an Erev Shabbos, you should not do it. Light your own from scratch. Yeah. Yes?
Sometimes when you go away, like to a simcha or a hotel, they have a separate candle in here.
Oh, yeah. You know, what goes on in hotels... I mean, that's not the only thing that goes on at hotels, you know. So it's good my friends in the hotel business are not here, but, you know, but they would be the first ones to admit. It's hard to be Yaitse, the nearest Shabbos properly in a hotel. What I would advise you to do, if you want to do the mitzvah and have no kshoshes whatsoever, is bring with you a little incandescent nightlight. Plug that in the room before you go down and put it on, and that should provide some light in the room for you for the nighttime, which is part, as I mentioned, that's part of the mitzvah of Adlokas Neiros. Then go downstairs and light the candles and make the bracha and have in mind the one in your room. At least with the one in your room, you'll certainly be Yitzi and you won't have a bracha of Atola. What? Later, you're going to come back anyhow. It's not going off. Oh, in the candle lighting room? No, nobody's interested in being there. Whatever, you don't need it there. It's, I don't know, very modernist story. It's, you know, I understand I'm sympathetic to what the hotels want. And it's not that I'm not sympathetic, but, you know, and that is that they're afraid that the hotel's going to get burned down if people are lighting derech all over the place. You know, I did like over the years back, I remember once we were in Shalevim, so there they had a place, like a stone place right in the center of the dining room, where you could light all the neiros. So the neiros were really were part of the Sudas Shabbos. So what I meant to finish, I want to finish the point that I started out to make. Many people do not light, put the neiros on the table nowadays, which is, I understand. But if they're not going to be on the neiros table, at least they should be visible in the place that we're eating the Sudas Shabbos. They shouldn't be off somewhere else that we can't see them when we're eating Sudas Shabbos. Yes? Mazel tov.
My son will call me like the elephant now for Shabbos. To ask if I have a nightlight? Is that what
it's called? A nightlight, a little incandescent nightlight, yeah.
So it's like just those little plug-in.
An incandescent, not an LED. The whole LED is a whole shiloh. A regular incandescent they could make a bracha on.
But one light.
One is enough, as I mentioned. One just fulfills the dim with one light. Yeah. We'll get to that soon. No, you put it out before you make the brocha.
And then there's no problem.
No, there's no problem before you make the brocha.
But it's Shabbos. If you're not saying the brocha yet, somebody said just by lighting it.
It's not true. That's why we make the brocha after we light.
What if you realize, like, oh, I forgot to rip paper towel?
You after you lit?
No, before you said the brocha.
You could do such a thing, but it's not the thing to do. It is a hefsek, yes. Now, there are some that have the minhag, and it's brought in the halacha as being the best way. But again, for varied reasons, many people don't do it. But some people light with shemen zayis, with olive oil. And there is a maila in the halacha for that. But you have to be very careful about one thing. I was concerned, you know, they have these candles today that you light, you put them in a little glass thing. And you light them, and they turn into a liquid after you light them. So I was concerned. The Gemara says in Shabbos, it's a halach and hilchah Shabbos, I think the Gemara is elsewhere, but the Gemara states that one cannot move a oil lamp on Shabbos. Because when we move it, because the oil to splash up and burn more rapidly, and when we move oil away from the fire and slow it down, and it's a double violation of Shabbos. So I was concerned that perhaps that these type of candles, to have them on the table, is not really the most appropriate thing if the table is going to shake. So I wanted to ask the Shaila. I was sitting with Rav Moshe Halberstam at Saladayin of the Eid HaRedis. I was sitting with him in his house. And I wanted to ask him the Shaila, but I was aware that he lit with Shemen Zayas, with olive oil. So before I asked him the Shaila, I put my hand against the table, and I saw if the table was firm or the table shook. And I saw the table was very firm, it didn't move. So once I knew the table didn't move, so then I asked him the Shaila if there's an issue. And he said, yeah, there is an issue with it, you should be careful about it. But I didn't want to ask him the Shaila if it was... In his situation, maybe there was the table shook. So I'm aware, perhaps, Bizman Hazeh, the dynamic may be halachically different, perhaps, because, as I mentioned, we don't need the additional light that comes from the candles. And consequently, since we don't need that light, we're not particularly concerned if it goes out a little bit earlier or a little bit later. So maybe the whole thing is reduced to what's called the psikration of the lo'ich b'slei, but something is inevitably going to happen. If I use the table, I lean against the table and it shakes, so the oil is going to shake too, or the melted wax is going to shake. So perhaps, halachically, we could justify it as based on a psikration of the lo'ich b'slei that I don't care about. So perhaps that's, I said, the limit schus on the world, that they're makel to put them on the table nowadays. But it could be that many people, in fact, did not like with Shemen Zayas for that reason, because it added an additional halachic concern to lighting with the Shemen Zayas, that if the table moves and the oil splashes up and burns a little bit brighter, that Gemara says is construed as Chilul Shabbos. So if one's not lighting on the table, and certainly one could light with Shemen Zayas if one wants, that there's no question, or if the table is very firm. And according to the halacha, there is a milah in lighting with Shemen Zayas, but not an obligation to do so. Now, one of the well-known halachas, I don't know why it's so well-known, but it's one of the well-known halachas in Hilchos Neiros Shabbos, is if one forgot to light the Neiros Shabbos, so there's a minhag to add an additional candle, or at the very least, longer candles for all the Shabboses for the rest of one's life. And the truth is, in today's world, it's hard to wind up in a situation, I think, where that's actually going to be obligatory, because Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal was asked in Shiloh, a woman came to shul on the night of Simchas Torah, And she left home. She was planning to light the Neris when she came home for the Sudas Yontif. And she came home. It was very late at night by the time she came home. And she forgot about it. She forgot that she hadn't lit Neris. And they had Sudas Yontif, and they went to sleep. And the next day she realized, I didn't light Neris last night. So the Rav asked Rav Moshe Zatzal, and Rav Moshe told him, his view is that this does not apply to Yontif. It applies only to Shabbos, and the logic is compelling. And that is because on Shabbos, if a woman failed to light the Neiris, so the house would have been dark. On Yontif, it's not a problem. They could light the Neiris on Yontif too. So they never created a situation which would disturb the tranquility of the house. Toiv. Now, one might argue that Bizman HaZed, that's always the case, because it's not the only Neiris that we use. Perhaps that we have the other Neiris, so there's always going to be Shalom Bayis. So that's a debatable point. But usually what happens in most situations where people don't light is usually not in their own house. So in their own house, I might still tell them they have to do something, you know, and I do. I'm just speculating that perhaps one is not really obligated b'tzad minig. But if you're a guest in someone else's house, then certainly there's no necessity, if one failed to light the Neiris Shabbos, to add an extra candle, and I'll explain why. If I'm a guest in someone's house, and let's say I don't want to light the Neiris Shabbos, so what I have to do is I have to join together with them and become part of their Hadlokas Neiris. Now, the preferred way of doing that is either to pick up the candles or the oil and acquire part of it for myself, that should be included in the mitzvah, or to give them some money for it, and give them a dime so that I have purchased a share in it, and that's the best way to do it. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein's Atzal held that if one is a guest in someone's house, there's not an obligation to do that. It's better, I guess, if you do, but you're not obligated to do so, because I'm considered somuch al shulchanu. Since I'm a guest in your home, certainly if I'm staying in your home, then I'm your guest for Shabbos. And if I'm your guest for Shabbos, you're taking care of all my needs, so I'm considered part of your household in terms of the Neiris Shabbos too. Perhaps if you're eating a meal there, just it may not apply. But certainly if you're staying someplace for Shabbos, it certainly applies. So in many, many situations, one does not have to eat a Neir on Shabbos. And the halacha also is, if one was an oinus, if something happened which was above and beyond my control, and that's the reason that I didn't light the Neiris, one certainly doesn't have to add an additional Neir. Well, that's quite fun. That's a pretty good excuse. Now, what happens if one's not eating at home on Friday night? So where should I light the Neiris? Now, to light the Neiris and to leave, so it's a bracha levatola, because I'm not benefiting from the Neiris. And one should really benefit from the Neiris after nightfall. So if you're going to stay home until after nightfall, then you can certainly light in your own house if you wish, and halachically. But Rav Moshe Zatzal was not so in favor of that, if nobody's in the house. Only if someone's in the house. Rav Moshe did not like the notion in our world of unattended Neiris. He was concerned that unattended Neiris could lead to problems. So he preferred, for that reason, if possible, that the woman should light where she's eating that Friday night. Long as she could be yotze there as well. And if that's possible and no one's going to be home, Rav Moshe preferred that. Halachically, one fulfills the mitzvah in either of the two places. But he preferred that. If someone's going to be home, then it's obviously, then it would be better to light in the house, I believe, than to light in one's own house if someone's going to be home. Say the children will be home, grown children, etc., than to light somewhere else. Now, do we have any questions before we proceed forward? Yeah.
Can they use shorter candles then? If they're going out?
They could use shorter candles, yes. At least they should burn until past Tzeisa Kochov, until nightfall.
How long after
Tzeisa? No, it's no shir. It's not Hanukkah. Okay, anyone else? Yes.
So it's not like you come in and stay 10, 15 minutes. You're going to stay a substantial amount of time.
I would think that they don't have to stay till they go out, but I think one should stay a little bit after Tzeis HaKochov Mlechatchila. Yeah. Yes.
On Yantar, if you're lighting with the oil, right? So then you still need a candle to be able to actually light all the oil.
That's fine.
So that candle should then just...
Just you put a tumbler, put it in a candle holder, and leave it. You know, if it, put it down next to the neighbors or whatever it is, so you benefit from that as well. But you used it for a purpose, so there's no problem with it. On Yom Tov, yeah.
If you're attending a simcha, are you sleeping in one house where there will be people there because they're not supposed to be eating out, right? And then you're eating with the Bali simcha someplace else, where is it possible?
You could light it either place. I don't have an absolute answer to that question. But either place, one would be, I'd say. I would be more inclined probably the place that you're sleeping, but that's a debatable point in Shabbos, which one it is.
Wait, so I have a question about that, because let's say, because I remember going to a class and you said to the Seid HaKochavim, is there a difference?
Said what?
Because let's say you're making a early Shabbos, so then you're staying with your candles, doing all the tila, staying for half an hour or maybe even 40 minutes, let's say you use tea light. So it could be after the time you come home, but you did say, you did get...
I would think, listen, the chatkila should be after Tzeis HaKochav, but the Eved probably, you're right. As long as it, you know, you benefited from them, you didn't run out right away, and you stayed there for a while. Yeah, I would think so. Okay, anything more? Any other questions before we proceed forward? Yes?
After you light it, you need to go help somebody with something or visit somebody, but you didn't come home for a meal. You have to stay for...
No, you don't have to stay. As long as you come back later and the neighbors are still going, you're fine. Okay. Now, I want to revisit one of the points that I talked about before, and that is, I mentioned that the general practice is to light two neiros. Everybody lights at least two neiros. Then people add, for all varied reasons, minhagim of their family, the birth of children, that they add additional neiros, all types of reasons. Now, what happens if one is not at home? How many neiros is one supposed to light? And this really is also a matter of minhag. I think that to the greatest extent, most people, when they're not home, do not light more than two neiros. That's the most common practice, and if that's one's minhag, that's fine. There are some, in fact, that have the minhag that they light the same number of neiros wherever they light. It doesn't make a difference whether they're home or they're not home. But if one has the minhag to light only two when one's outside one's house, that's also... It's since the whole matter is a matter of minhag, if the minhag is to do so, that's also fine. Okay, anything else that we'd like to know about neiros? Yeah?
I do light my candles in a somewhat shaky place. Should I stop buying those candles again?
Which candles are not a problem if they shake?
Even if they're the ones that melt?
Well, if they're the ones that melt... I'm not so keen lechatchila on putting them in a place as is. I would think so, to the extent that one can. Yes. Yeah.
What's the reasoning? Like some people put candles on their dining room table, and some people have it in separate places.
No, as long as it's within sight of where you're eating, you know, provides light in the place that you're eating, that's fine. You know, that's. Varied people, listen, there is a certain, there are certain problems which arise, you know, having the neiros on the table. And that is, I didn't say that one shouldn't put them on the table, but I understand why some people may put them adjacent to the table on a piece of furniture, which is in the dining room, adjacent to the table. And that is, let's say you want to take the tablecloth off on Shabbos to change for a milchukim meal for Shalosh Shudas or whatever it is. So we know that one of the things about the Neir Shabbos is that the leichter, the candelabrum, is muktz on Shabbos. And even after the Neir is out, I cannot move it. So if one has a reason, for example, that one wants to take the tablecloth off and reset the table, one's going to have a problem. So that may be the reason that some people don't do so. I'm not saying that one should do it that way, but I'm speculating why people may not want to put it on the table. That would be one of the reasons. Yeah.
If the lighter is on like a bar or something, and you need something inside after, like say Shabbos day or something, can you move the actual?
No, you cannot move the lighter on Shabbos.
Not the lighter.
What?
The thing that it's on.
If it had other things on it before Shabbos. What?
Meaning you could move the actual bar and then get something from inside.
If there are things in the bar itself, then the bar itself would be both a base for mukta items and non-mukta items that you can move on Shabbos. Yes?
Someone lights candles early when it's yantif. Is it better not to light Shabbos
candles
early because then you're like ending
Yom Tov,
or it doesn't matter?
If Yom Tov goes into Shabbos, when it's time, you can light. Listen, that you have to light Neiros. After Plag HaMincha, you could light when you want. I don't see much of an issue with what point you should light. Neiros and a sukkah. So the Gemara basically says, as long as you have a sukkah that's large enough to safely keep the neiros inside the sukkah, you should light in the sukkah, and not otherwise. One should light either outside the sukkah, that it casts light into the sukkah, or whatever, maybe in the house if you can't light, put the neiros in such a place. But certainly, the sukkahs that we tend to have, most people are large enough to accommodate the neiros Chanukah safely. You know, there's some people that have. The neiros Shayuntiv safely, I meant to say. Some people have little, you know, tiny sukkahs. I've seen around Kew Garden Hills over the years one or two sukkahs that were basically not much bigger than a telephone booth, you know. You know, that I don't know if they, two people could barely fit inside. You know, I guess that sufficed to the people that live there. But in such a case, the Shas was not in favor of lighting the neighbors inside such a sukkah.
If it's windy, or if there's children around and you light and then someone hears.
No, you should not do that. That's clear. The halacha states that where you light them is where you should leave them.
But once they're out, you can move the
light. What? When they're out, you can move it, or you're going back inside at the end of the meal. You don't have to stay outside until the day they go out. But where you light them is where you should leave them. So, in our house on Sukkot, we use, in fact, the glass ones. So they're inset. And they don't burn out, because the regular candles would probably have a hard time, you know, staying lit outdoors. Yes?
Going back to the candles on the table, can you put jewelry on the tray and then be able to move the...
I think jewelry would suffice, but I'll move the tray. We're not noyik to do that, because since the tray is specific... But since the tray is really specifically intended for the Neiros Shabbos, we don't consider it a bosses for anything else. On the table, yes, in terms of moving the table, but of moving the tray, we do not rely upon that. Yes, Yuris.
A question about, you said before, about the mincha and tonight after you light candles. If you usually say a lot about precious,
yes, yes, you can still say them, yes.
And you think that you could say if you miss a davening, then you say two, you know, like say if you miss mincha, you say tomorrow.
If you do, it's dinner the Gemara. What?
What would be better?
I think it's better to make the Tanai and daven and not do that. Yes?
So, ever since we had the words, you know, Friday night, because my son. So a candle Friday night got burned. I light candles in the kitchen. I climb up on a step stool actually to get to the candles. I have a few microwaves piled up and toast. And the truth is, from the dining room we eat, you don't really, I mean, you can't really see. You don't really see. I don't know where to put that.
I think make a shelf.
In the dining room?
Yeah, yeah.
And people will back into it? Like
they can high up.
Climb up on a stuff.
Yeah.
I'm climbing up anyway.
Is there an inyan to light the candles and blow them out and light them again? The halacha is the following. It's very interesting. I didn't tell you this halacha because this is a share for women. This is not a share for men. But you know, men also have a certain share in the mitzvah of hadlokas neiros, and the men's share is preparing the neiros. That's their chelik in the mitzvah. Now, one part of that mitzvah is to make the lighting as efficient as possible. There are certain times, certain candles, you're better off if you light them, and then they start to draw a little bit of the wax up into the wick, and you blow them out, they will light better, they will burn better the second time. So if the candles will burn better after they're lit and you extinguish them, then there's a mitzvah to light them, for the husband to light them and then blow them out, and the white woman should relight them. Certain candles you're better off if you don't do that with. So that I leave to the women to decide. They're the ones that actually are there when they actually light the candles. Yes.
So can the woman light the candles before Shabbos and blow them out?
She can, yeah. Listen, if her husband's not doing it, if the candles work most efficiently that way, then it's a mitzvah to do that. Yes. What?
I've heard that the guest should light the door of one of the house.
No. I don't know any reason to do so.
If you're at someone's house and they like to light everyone's candles and have you just say the brother, is that something?
Well, I don't know why they should light. You should light. I would suspect, I'm not sure. I mean, if they, according to Sephardic practice, it might even be better for the Balabusta to light first and make the bracha before the guests, but according to Sephardic practice, I believe. Yes?
In this sukkah, our sukkah is not big enough to have a separate table for the candles. After they go out, or the next day, we need to change the table for
Shabbos, you cannot move it, so. Yontif, it's fine. Yontif is not mukta. For a whole big fancy reason, which is beyond what we're going to do here, why they're not mukts on Yontif, but that's a very interesting point. Yeah.
Did you say, I'm not sure I'm right, if it's Yontif the sukkah and you're done eating?
You can take the neighbors back in the house.
Then
you can go drink. Yes.
Can you discuss about lighting candles at the early Shabbos? I know it says
The story is like this. Let me explain to you. We have two, after Shavuos in this shul, we no longer have mincha b'zman. In other words, we don't wait to candle lighting time and start mincha after that. So we have two zmanim, both of them, because there are two different views of when the plaga mincha is. So there's one mincha before the first plaga mincha, one mincha before the second plaga mincha. Now, one cannot light neiros until the first plaga mincha. That's why the note, which will be on this luach, in fact, will state that one should not light candles if his husband's davening at the first minyan until 23 minutes after the zman. Because this man in our luach is 19 minutes before the plaga mincha, so we didn't want to cut it like the 20 minutes. So what happens if you watch this 1 minute fast? So we put it to 23 minutes because the husbands will not be up to Kabbalah Shabbos at that point in time. They won't have reached Mizmor Shir yet, and they will have finished mincha, and there will be this man. So consequently, that's the reason we made the 23 minutes man. Now, a woman may not light neiros before then, too early to light the neiros. The second question is, when the husband is mekabel Shabbos, does the wife also have to be mekabel Shabbos at the same time? And that's a subject that Rav Moshe Feinstein explores in the Tshuvas, and he does not have a definitive answer to it. He's up and back on it, on that question. Consequently, what I wrote was that women should daven, I think it says 20 minutes, if I believe it, the people davening at the second minyan, because they'll have finished mincha at that point. They will not yet have been mekabel Shabbos, so that's the preferred time for a woman to light Neir Shabbos. However, bottom line halacha, if she can't light at that time, she can light all the way up until the regular time that you could light on any Friday. Okay, that's the explanation of those mysterious statements in the Luach.
If you have a guest that comes to your house and you see them running late, should you light the candles and just come up and make the bracha?
You can light the candles, I guess, I'll come out. It's a question. If they, what you should do beforehand is maybe call them and they should officially tell you to be their shliach. Now let me explain. This is an important point. Let's say that one didn't light the neiros and it's getting close to shkia. So one's not supposed to, you know, we can't get him become emotional and light the neiros 2 seconds before shkia. You know, we stop a few minutes before and ad kan, and that's it. If we didn't get there, if some neiros go out, so they went out, and we leave them alone. And that's the biggest covered Shabbos, is that we're shomer Shabbos properly. Now, let's say a woman didn't light, so there's a discussion in the poskim if one may ask a non-Jew to light the neiros for them. So during the period in between sunset and nightfall, which is 40 minutes after shkia, one may ask a non-Jew to light the neiros. However, one may not recite a brocha on those neiros because I'm not construed as having lit those neiros directly myself. I can light the neiros, or an agent of mine can light the neiros. You know, any Jewish person that's over the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah could be my agent. A non-Jew cannot be an agent. There's no din of agency in the halacha for a non-Jew. So consequently, it's not really considered that I lit the neiros, and therefore I cannot make a brocha on it. I would not have a knas because I took care of the fact that there should be light in the house, but I cannot recite a brocha on such neiros.
Even if it's like, let's say it's an elderly person that has an aid or something and they can't light it?
Doesn't make a difference.
So they have to make sure that a Jewish person...
Yes, yes.
They could not say a brocha if the...
Correct. Yes.
And going back to the Mekabel Shabbos for the other women in the house, do they...
There's a mitzvah of Tosfos Shabbos. Tosfos Shabbos means we should add a little bit extra time onto Shabbos. And for a person, the proper way to do that is for a person to at least think or say that they'd be mekabel or mekabela Shabbos.
So and like
an 8-year-old girl should be mechanacha for such a thing. She should be mechunach and Tosfos Shabbos, like you're mechanacha for every other day in Shabbos.
So she's there like the mother.
So, no, she should. You should teach her to be mekabel Shabbos. What age she's mature enough to be able to do so. Yes? Listen, I can't comment on this. You know, there's... Any time we expand Shmira Shabbos and we're more careful not to violate Shabbos is a schus. If this is the particular schus that we should, that's not for me to comment upon. That's, you know, there are, I'm not the one that's given such a psak, and I'm not here to nor to disagree with the people that have given such a psak. Neither of the two. You know. So historically, we moved the Hadlokas Neiros to 18 minutes before sunset for a reason. It was to be moisif, you know, on Shabbos, and to be careful that we shouldn't come to violate Shabbos. So, as I said, if one wants to be mekabel Shabbos earlier than that, you know, there's certainly a schus that's involved in that, and that's all I'm in the position to be able to say.
Before six?
If we finish what? You have to daven before shkia. That doesn't change.
Okay.
So, you know, There's man mincha in this community is before the sun sets, you know. Taste, forget about. But you know, once it finishes its shkia, you can daven a few minutes after shkia if you're not able to daven before. You should try to finish by shkia if you can't finish a few minutes after shkia, but you know.
So if you finish one of the Esrei, it's already
right
around Shkia. So
you didn't
have the Tosfos.
Is that still considered
adding
a Tosfos? Yes, yes. So
the
little before Shkia is the
Tosfos Shabbos. You know.
Yes.
Is there any enough to blow out the match that you
do? I don't know any reason not to blow out the match. I don't. It's you weren't Mekabel Shabbos yet, so why can't you blow out the match? I don't know what to. Yes. And Yontif, you shouldn't blow it out, yeah. Second day Yontif, or the first day if you light late. Yes. What? Yes. So, what if you... Yes. Yes, then Yontif, so you have to put it down. Yes, so extinguish itself is not a problem, yeah.
Should he say bracha first?
Yes, a man says the bracha first, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Is there anything, I was thinking about putting out
the
candles a certain way, like
depriving
it of the oxygen, it doesn't actually blow.
Whatever, there is some mystical thing of not blowing out a nair. I'm talking that when it's a Nair. I think before Shabbos it doesn't make a difference because it's not yet a Nair of Shabbos. But something which is used for like a Nair of mitzvah, which actually used, is some mystical thing, I don't know what it is, that some are careful about not to blow it out. But, you know. Yeah. Don't put more things, but pressures before you light. That's all, you know. It's once you makabel Shabbos, it's better not. It's not mispalel on Shabbos for someone unless they're dangerously ill. The davening, we should daven for the spiritual needs of people when we daven at that point in time.
On the other hand,
we have to finish in about a minute or more.
On the other hand, is it important to keep Shabbos for at least a few minutes after this month?
You mean at the end of Shabbos?
Yeah.
This man usually already includes Tais for Shabbos in it. This man took care of that already. Okay, it's been a pleasure. Be'ez is Hashem, next Monday night, we're going to talk about the halachas of challah. I did. I said.
So that's what I wanted to ask. During Shabbos, the Shmoneh Esrei is completely different.